podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it's Tor Live. Happy Thursday, everyone. I'm John Givens, hosting this week. I'm joined in the studio by Gareth Roberts and Emma Sanders, and across the other side of Liverpool by Cam Rimmer, it is. And we're going to talk about Liverpool's fantastic performance last night. And, well, I say fantastic performance. You know, they had to dig deep, Gareth, for periods of it, but they came through and second half looked a better team. And, yeah, we got to enjoy the last sort of 15 minutes just holding out and seeing it through.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that stands out for me really is just the standard or the quality of the head and the heart of Liverpool, really. You know, a lot of people would have watched the first half and panicked a little bit maybe and being like, you know, this is our big opportunity. This is our game in hand. We're not taking the opportunity. Ah, that kind of thing. And, you know, you're there, Jürgen, can talk about a fast start and, okay, we forced a few corners. But then Arsenal grew into it and we saw, you know, why they're in the form they are. We saw that they're a good side. They caused Liverpool some problems without actually putting a shot on target. And like, as I say, I think lesser sides, lesser groups, it may well have got to them. Whereas Liverpool were really calm about it. Liverpool backed themselves and then they started to cause Arsenal problems and obviously went on to win the game. And as you say, we could end up enjoying it almost by the end. But When I talk about the head and the heart as well, I just think it was epitomised by Andy Robbo in that, you know, the way he goes and wins that ball over on the left, you know, it was a lost cause and he goes over and does it. And I've seen, you know, Johnny Milburn comparing it to McMahon.
Oh, I watched it with him last night. He was banging on about it. Yeah. I was like, come on the post-match pint if you want, mate. Yeah.
You know, and that was a moment that we all love where McMahon keeps it in, falls into the crowd, runs back, takes it around a fella, crosses it in, Beardsley, I think it's Aldo who eventually puts it in, isn't it? But it was one of those moments where you've chased a lost cause and it's ended up leading to a goal. And you could see a conversation between Robbo and Klopp at the end where Robbo's pointing to his head. And I think I like to think he's saying, like, you know, I didn't give up, boss, type of thing, do you know what I mean? Because it was that type of day, it was that type of performance, massive win for Liverpool. And, you know, when I watched City the other day, I'm obviously looking for negatives and I'm a Liverpool fan and all the rest of it, but I saw them having a go at each other, I saw De Bruyne losing his shit a little bit. And so I like to think that Liverpool are perhaps mentally stronger than City are, and that's going to tell as the season goes on.
Do you enjoy yourself, Cam?
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah. No, I was there. It was boss. It was easy getting up this morning, like, you know what I mean? But, oh, no, it was brilliant. And then just thinking about it before, like, when that second went, it was just the relief. It was just unbelievable. And then Klopp coming over doing, like, you know, the fist pumps. And I was just, boss, as the guy was saying, then there's such a togetherness now in the squad, isn't it? Like, you look at City and you don't really get that vibe from them. It's just like a team of superstars, really. But all of us, it's a team of superstars, but they're all just like a big gang of mates as well, aren't they? They're just going for it. And yeah, it was just unbelievable.
With the feeling in the ground then, did you know, with the first half when it's not necessarily going as it wanted to, was the anxiety there? Or did you feel like, listen, the boys will sort it out. If we get to half time, they'll sort it. And listen, the quality of the bench helped as well, didn't it?
Yeah, in terms of
how we all felt about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie, like in the first half, it was one of the more nervous I've been this season, but I think that's natural for this part of the season. Now, it wasn't in terms of, I don't think the team's got in them. But I think at first, I'm not going to lie, in the first half, I thought Arsenal, I just sussed a bit, but then it was just the quality came over in the second half. And we all knew eventually what was going to happen, it was going to be fine. But yeah, it was just, I've seen Neil Atkinson at half time, then at the end of the game, and he was a lot different compared to.
Probably used in work, mate. Yeah. You know, by hour.
Yeah, there was a few nervous faces on the concourse at half time, like I'll put it that way.
Absolutely. It needs to be remembered, Emma, that Arsenal are a good team. They're likely to finish fourth this season. And, you know, back in the day when me and Robbo were young and handsome at away, he's still handsome, to be fair, but away at Arsenal used to be you take a draw, you bite your hand off at a draw. Now, you know, every game's must win, and that just sort of adds to the tension, to what Cam's talking about the nerves on concourses and things like that. But the fact that the players are just able to rise above it and go, oh, must win, Sam, we'll just do it, just speaks volumes for them.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, happy birthday to Gibbo. It's his birthday today, 21.
Thanks Christ, plus 19.
Yeah. Give or take. You're right. The magnitude of a game against Arsenal, I think, you know, people forget sometimes how difficult it still is because of the kind of the historic rivalry between the clubs. Yes, at the end of the day, Liverpool's quality was what won the game. It was, I know Mikel Arteta said this afterwards, it was the moments in the two boxes. Liverpool were just better when it came to their chances. But just the general feeling around the game. It was a bit nervy. It was obviously a must win. It was a must win for both teams, but especially for Liverpool, given obviously the what's at stake with the title. So I think just to kill that momentum, the fact that they rode almost that first half where arguably Arsenal played the best that they could play in this current moment, and Liverpool rode that and then just got those two goals, you know, two chances, two goals, that was it. And the game was done by the hour mark. And I think that shows the difference now between this Liverpool side and perhaps one, you know, in the past, and even ones in the early days of Klopp, where they started to show the quality. They didn't have the maturity and as Gareth mentioned earlier, perhaps the mentality to be able to just see out those games with ease. And the fact that they've gone away to Arsenal and come away from a win, which was what was expected, and they've almost just gone, yep, job done, move on. And it's not, you know, the players haven't made out like it's a historic win. But to us as fans, if you're looking at that, like say even 5-6 years ago, that would have been one of the games of the season, you know, going to the Emirates and winning 2-0. Now it's just, it's almost like it's another game. It's another win in a series of wins in a season where that's what needs to be done, just win.
Yeah. Do you look like they back each other, Gareth? I enjoyed, you know, Thiago having a bit of a laugh afterwards about, you know, I should have been man of the match. I got 2 assists like that. And it just shows that they're able to feel like, you know what, if I make a mistake, it's not the end of the world, because A, it happens, and B, we've got the best goalie in the world. And also I saw Klopp after the game saying, yeah, it was a shit pass, but he doesn't need me to go and tell him. It's, you know, he knows. Do you know what I mean? And it's, they trust each other, I think, as adults, as men, and as elite footballers. And that seems to be whoever's on the pitch as well. And it's not the, again, the, you know, going back to a few years where it was like, well, we've got 8 or 9 good players, and then hopefully they're all fit, and then we'll throw a couple more on and see how we got on. Now you're talking like 16, 17 elite players, and whoever is on the pitch, they back each other to almost deal with any situation.
Yeah, the spirit is second to none, and the togetherness is second to none, and you can see that all the time. It must be fun for them to go to work, and any time that it's fun to go to work is a good thing. And look, you know, they're fighting at the very top, they're fighting for every trophy, and yet, you know, they're also relaxed, they're doing interviews, they're having a laugh, they're laughing off the fact that, you know, like Thiago nearly teased them up for a goal. And look, you know, you can see that as well. I mean, I one of the things I liked about the game early on was the fact, you know, Arsenal were obviously up, the crowd was up, you could hear them, they were right behind the team, they fancied the chances, and they were pressing us high, and they were having a real good go, and there was loads of energy about them. And Liverpool were just playing it round at the back, knocking it round, using the keeper, and, you know, the confidence to do that in such a big game. I mean, Klopp said himself, you know, if it had been me, I would have tried to hoof it, whereas, you know, Thiago's always thinking about football and trying to play football, and he just made a mistake. But he was actually, I have to say, he was actually annoying me a little bit in the first half. I mean, I'm sure he would say Arsenal were blocking passing lanes and things like that, but he was playing it simple too often for me. And I was like, you're in the side to break down this kind of thing. And then, of course, he goes and does what he does. And you're like, oh, okay, let you off now, mate. Because he does find the pass that we needed to unlock Arsenal in the end. A shout for Bobby as well. I just thought he was absolutely magnificent when he came on. And he closed the door to Arsenal all of a sudden, you know. So obviously he scores the goal and he gets the plaudits for that, but I thought defensively as well he was absolutely brilliant. His intelligence, his running, his energy, it was exactly what Liverpool needed in that moment. And there's a telling thing for me on Monday Night Football where they were actually talking about Lukaku and, you know, his facts and figures, and obviously the famous 7 touches in the game and all that kind of stuff, but they were talking about the amount he regularly runs. It's not a lot, but top of the league for it was Firmino. And I know people don't like that, but that energy, that will, that desire, every single time he's on the pitch, that's why the manager loves him. And it made a big difference last night.
Yeah, Sajjad in the comments here, he said, special mention to Bobby, what a player. So glad Klopp made the changes earlier than usual. I don't know how close you were to getting a snog off Bobby, Cam, but I'm sure you wanted to give him one in that moment. And he has come to the party there, like so many have done throughout the season, at different times, different forwards, or even just different players have stepped up. You know, we've even had old Divock Origi winners at Wolves and stuff rolling back the years. And Bobby, we've not really seen him for a month. He's not sort of been about. I mean, obviously loves playing at Arsenal, but having the option like Sad just says there, to bring on two elite forwards early in the game as well. Klopp said afterwards, I did it for the energy, you know, and as Gareth says before, you know, he's got plenty of it and he sort of puts himself about to be able to bring those two on about, I think they were ready in them on 55, you know, able to come on, and the fact that they're able to come on and make a big difference, you know, is such a gift for the manager.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine being Arsenal last night and seeing them two warming up and you're just like, oh, come on, sort of thing. But again, it's a sign of champions, isn't it? The way all different players are coming in, they're coming to the fore. Like, you know, Fabinho, for example, is on near enough double figures for goals. Like, that's a defensive midfielder. But yeah, Firmino, I'm glad he had his moment last night because, like, in our end, like, that seems to be, like, it's always, like, one of the constant songs, even when he's not playing, like, the Firmino song, do you know what I mean? It's just one of them and just made up for him. And I think that last night was just a sign of, like, He just wanted to just get into the crowd, didn't he? And the lads who have, you know, who hugged him and all that, they've already updated the profile pictures on Facebook already. Yeah, you know? Of course. I was smashing the likes, but yeah.
I've still got me in storage from after Madrid.
but it was just Bosch, wasn't it? I think it was, like, I think, like, he needs that sort of moment as well, because I think over, like, the last, you know, like, throughout the season, like, all the other strikers have come to the fore, haven't they? And he hasn't really had that, like, moment, as you said, like Origi had his at Wolves. And, you know, by all means, I'm happy with, like, any player, whoever is on the pitch, having one of these moments before the end of the season. Long may they keep running into our ends as well.
Yeah, to have them, you know, all feeling confident going into this, which is the business end of the season. You know, Andy Robertson mentioned it after the game, didn't he? He says, we feel like we're in, I think he used the word sprint finish now. Someone made the point to me when we were watching it, that the fact that it's gone from 10 games down to 9, the fact that it's single figures in league games, you know, feels like something. You know, it does feel like, you know, we're in the home straight, we're ready to go. We know this team can thrive in these conditions because they've done it before and they look determined to do it again. But the more players you have playing well and in form, and you're able to rotate to bring them in and out, you know, for the relentlessness of the fixtures, the better. And Bobby's another one now. He's thrown his hand up and said, yeah, I'm ready, boss, for this time.
Yeah, 100%. And when I saw the team come out before kickoff, and obviously Salah was on the bench, which I wasn't surprised about in the slightest, like, there was no part of me that was concerned about, you know, what Liverpool would look like without Mo Salah, because I was like, well, there's Salah on the bench, there's Bobby on the bench, you start with Mane, Diaz. And it's like, come on, Jota, obviously. And it's like the players that are now at Liverpool's disposal. And I can't really think of a player who's out of form at the moment. Like, yes, players will have dips during games and they'll have the odd, you know, game here and there that they're not at their best. But I don't think there is a player in Liverpool's, you know, starting 11 for sure that's out of form. I mean, Henderson perhaps hasn't had his best season in recent months, but he's... Even him in the last couple of games, he's looked pretty good. So, yeah, I just think it's the best time for all of the players to start hitting their peaks in a season, and this is what you want. I know football's a bit different, but you speak to, like, elite athletes from, like, other sports, you know, like athletics and stuff, and they almost peak their training for the moments that where they win stuff. So, you know, they'll train for however long, 2 years, but they want to be in the ultimate shape for when that Olympic final comes around. And it's almost like in a Premier League season, ideally you want your players to be at their absolute best when you've got 9-10 games to go in the season and you're in a title race. So it's almost like it's all starting to come together. And as you say, I think just looking at the table and just seeing, you know, the games just go down and down and down, the fact that Liverpool know where they stand now, there's no games in hand, everyone's kind of on the same level pegging, and it sounds simple, it's obviously not, but if Liverpool win every game between now and the end of the season, they've won the title. They know what the job is. And I think that makes such a big difference, just going into every game knowing this is what we have to do, let's just go out and do it.
We've talked a lot about the attacking talent, Gareth, but I think that axis of the goalie at the back, who we have mentioned, Virgil and Matip in front of them, and then Fabinho. I thought Fabinho was excellent last night, and having those four, and I think Canate can come in, you know, as well. But those four on the pitch as much as possible just gives you such solidity and just it's so impossible to almost kind of break through. And for all their good football, and it was there, and Martinelli's obviously dangerous, you know, down the left-hand side and things like that. But when it was coming into the middle, they were just dealing with it. And even when they weren't dealing with it, the keeper boxed it, you know what I mean? And so, you know, you were talking about... being a Liverpool fan watching City, which was a lot of us on Monday, and looking for pick holes. You know, if I'm a City fan looking at Liverpool at the moment, I think you're struggling. I don't think that's too biased, because even when other teams are on top, you know, you must be thinking, yeah, but they're not creating any chances. No. And they're one of the best teams in the league.
Exactly that. I mean, you know, Arsenal, I think across the 90 minutes, have managed two shots on target. And, you know, they're at home, they're flying, they're a form team. They come out the traps, they've got the crowd behind them, and Liverpool just deal with it. And, you know, I think Matip, for me, is the player of the season. I think Everton tends to come down his side because people don't want to go one-on-one with Virgil for obvious reasons. So they go for Matip, they go for Trent, and Matip just deals with it time and time again, and he's so calm, he's so improved. And I loved the other day when, you know, Klopp was talking about him and he was asked a question about him, and he almost looked like a proud dad the way he sort of answered it. And again, you just get the feeling that, you know, he's well loved in the team, well loved in the squad, and all of that matters. You know, like they all graft for each other. And as I say, or as you said, the idea of finding what Liverpool's weakness is, well, I feel like they're all struggling. I mean, Neville mentioned, you know, going down Trent's side again, and okay, he did that, and Martinelli played well, and, you know, the run where he does Trent twice and Megs Hendo and all the rest of it was fantastic to watch, to be fair. Well, not really as a Liverpool fan, but you know what I mean? It was good football.
Yeah.
But it doesn't result in anything, as you say. There's always someone there with the foot in. They're defending really well. I think it's 6 clean sheets in the last 8. And you know, once upon a time, we used to talk about clean sheets as being huge for winning league titles, and then we tried to forget about it when we had Brendan as manager. but you know, now it's coming back into form again, and we all like it again. But no, it's absolutely huge to be in form at both ends of the pitch at this time of the season. You know, City have got to be worried. There's no two ways about that. You know, the manager and the players are mentioning us all the time, and we love that, and we love to say that we're in their head. But we are. You know, no side has ever won the league having been 14 points behind at any point. And yet, here Liverpool are. You know, they've gone from way out in the odds to now about 6-4. And we were saying, a lot of us were saying on these shows, we still got a chance, you know, it's not done, it's not over. And like I say, you know, I've said loads of times, national journalists who have paid a lot of money to analyse football were saying it was done, were saying that it was going to take, you know, Devon Lock proportions to see Liverpool come back in this race. Well, it's happened, and here we are. Yeah, and isn't it fantastic?
I know, I remember doing 5 Live, I think it was, and the presenter group saying, yeah, it's done though, isn't it? And I was like, no, I don't think he does. I was having him on, but I believed it because that's what this team is capable of. And listen, Cam, we've got a Champions League draw on Friday. Someone's just mentioned it there. By the way, we'll be doing a live reaction to that. So Talking Reds Live, which Gareth's hosting. I'm trying to visualise the calendar in front of me. Gareth's doing the video. We'll be doing an audio reaction, which will be recorded as well. So yeah, so we'll watch it tomorrow. So if you YouTube or more video inclined, yeah, there'll be the Talking Reds a little bit later tomorrow, and then the audio reaction as well. But I'm sure you've dusted off your passport, Cam, and you're hoping for to get on a plane and not from Liverpool to Manchester.
Well, me bank account's telling me just get an English team.
But Chelsea, you won't be able to go.
Perfect, isn't it? Perfect. But I think the one we were all saying coming home, Villarreal, United and Benidorm, just to ease our way into the last few weeks of the season. But do you know what? It's past even the point of like trying to avoid them. You've got to play everyone at some point. But I honestly, over 2 legs, I don't fear anyone at all. And a few people in the comments there saying about, you know, playing City 3 times in the bounce, and that, I think we'd get into their heads even more before that league game. Like, imagine if we got
Bernardo Silva's head's going to explode. Do you know what I mean? With the amount of Liverpool that's going on for him already.
Do you know if that was one of our players doing that post-match interview the other night? Honest to God, you'd be furious when you're like, why even bring them up? But yeah, honestly, just take any, like, honestly, I'd have anyone at all. And also with the semi-final draw as well, made as well, isn't it? You find out who you can play in the semis as well. It's just bring on anyone, really. But yeah, Villarreal and Benidorm's my option.
Bring on your Internazionale. I was going to say we've beat them already. But, you know, we'll adapt the song as it comes for the draw, or Jamie or Keogh will write another one. As I say, the draw, make sure you check out our reaction tomorrow, Talking Reds special, and also the audio as well. And then after that, in terms of in the week, Liverpool travel to Forest, but we're going to talk about that straight away if you're joining us on the live stream. If you're enjoying this as a podcast, we've got a couple of inserts now. So it was earlier in the week or later last week. I think it was later last week. Neil went to Anfield to speak to a couple of people about the Anfield Road development and how that's getting on. So you're going to hear Neil do a couple of interviews on that. And then I spoke to Anfield musician Chloe Noon as well about everything that she's up to, with really exciting stuff she's been doing over the next 6 months and all the exciting plans over the next year as well. So you'll get a couple of inserts if you're on the podcast. If you're on the live feed, you'll come straight back and we'll be previewing Forest.
Neil Atkinson with Andy Hughes around the Anfield Road Stadium build right now. Andy, buildings are pointless without people. And what struck me from the presentations that we've just watched is how important the apprenticeships are to Liverpool Football Club, the relationship with Red Neighbours and the involvement of young people in a project like this.
Yeah, it's absolutely enormous. I think we've got 800 apprentice weeks in the scheme. And we've launched the Young Ambassador Programme, so 15 school children have kind of been involved, got to look around the site, and you know, choosing Buckingham, you know, part of that process was to ensure that they wanted to do something like that, and they do it, done it on other builds, and we're both working really well together to deliver those programs.
There's obviously this short-term program, then there's when the thing's built. One of the things that again came out of the presentation is the numbers of staff that will therefore be added to Liverpool's match day offering, the potential for growth within Liverpool itself. You know, part of Liverpool nailing on their status as a super club is really important to the economic feeling of the area.
Yeah, no, of course it is, yeah. And, you know, we estimate there'll be an extra 400 match day jobs for the local community, so which is really significant. I mean, we have over 2,000 working on a match day as is, so, yeah, I'm really pleased that we can offer that employment to the local area.
Also, again, as part of all of that, then there's the simple extension again of more people being exposed to this football team and this football club at the moment, but not just at the moment, but as a monumental sort of, I mean, literally as a monument, it's there, it's permanent for this ownership. It's three massive capital investments in the football club and in the future of the club now.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely enormous. You know, across those three investments, we'll have invested over $250 million in the long-term future of the club. And, you know, it's very easy to always think short-term, but these are really long-term investments in the success of the club. So absolutely enormous. And I think getting above 60,000 capacity has been really important for us. And as part of that, we're still here at Anfield, which I think it's really, really impressive to be able to do that in Anfield.
It was a really big decision made, that, wasn't it, to stay at Anfield? And I still feel as though we talk a lot about sort of obviously on the pitch stuff, what the manager's done. It still felt like a massive moment to me, that first game against Leicester, when the additional main stand was in, it changed the acoustics. Now 7,000 more in the Anfield Road again. It is this idea that, you know, these people will make noise. These people will be behind Liverpool. You know, that's the exciting part of this. More people will be able to come and watch Liverpool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it was a really brave decision to stay here. It's never going to be simple. It's never going to be easy. But to now, once this is completed, to get above 60,000, I just can't wait for that first match day in summer 23. So,
are you looking forward to not looking forward to ramp-up building sites all the time?
Exactly. Yeah. Just want to watch the football.
Just a last little thing on this is all this has been done to the backdrop of, let's be quite clear, quite significant sort of societal shifts and economic shifts. There's been obviously the impact of leaving the European Union. There's, on top of that, then there's been the pandemic. Liverpool have posted some losses, nowhere near as bad as many other teams recently. But this has remained on track, hasn't it, all the way through?
It has, yeah. And we, you know, the pandemic struck before we completed the training ground. So it's been a really complicated period. We did actually delay this build 12 months, if you remember. Yep. But that was in the planning stages. And I think that was the right decision to just give us time for everything to settle down. But it's made everything more difficult, more complicated. But, you know, I think that's true for everybody and everything these days. But we're on track. We've got a good plan and really happy with where we've got to.
And when we mention those slight operating losses, I say slight, it's obviously a huge amount of money, but in the grand scheme of the future of this football club, it's exactly this sort of development that'll offset, you know, in many years to come and ensure the club can remain successful on and off the pitch.
Yeah, no, it all helps. But look, when you look at those losses, you really have to look at both financial years. So it was an odd period with the season slipping across.
And we moved a month in accountancy periods and the league.
Exactly, yeah. So across the two periods, we lost around about £50 million. Which is a significant sum of money, but as you say, it's a lot less than many other clubs. So, you know, we're relatively pleased with the outcome, but know, I don't want to dismiss the significance of a £50 million loss over that period. But yes, this all helps. And I think we're in a strong position before we went into the pandemic. And I think we've come out of it in a strong position. So that's good news.
Neil Atkinson joined by Colin Roddy from Buckingham Group, who is overseeing this build. And the first thing I'll say, Colin, is you're building something. Your job here is to build something that gets to make 7,000 people very, very happy 19 times minimum a season. Is this exciting?
Yeah, it's a fabulous project to be involved in. I mean, Liverpool are one of the most famous football clubs in the world, and by extension, Anfield, of course, is one of the most famous stadiums in the world. So, yeah, no, it's brilliant, brilliant project.
You've discussed in the little presentation bit, really, the complexities around this, because the key thing is, in an ideal world, you get them to close the ground, come back in 2 years, it'll all be sorted out, and it'll be really, really smooth. But that's not the world you live in, because it's an active stadium all the time. Just to go into that, you know, just a simple thing like, how many times have you had to relay the roads outside the Anfield Road end so far?
Yeah, at the minute, we've probably relayed it approximately 15 times at the minute. Yeah, I'm sure our commercial guys are the priced it so often, but ho-hum. Yeah, but it's complex, but it's also it's a challenge. But again, that's what we're here for, isn't it?
It is the wider project from the point at which you've come on board. It's worth saying that you still feel it's on track for a completion date for the start of the 2023-2024 season. And that's been with the high winds, as we've just suddenly got a gust of here. It's with all the storm work. Are you really pleased with how it's going so far?
Yeah, look, I have to congratulate the subcontractors on the project. You know, whilst I might sit on top, it is a team we have, and the subcontractors are vital to that. And the fact that they've also bought in and not grumble too much about the intermittent breaks and production of having to work around fixtures, etc., has been really refreshing to see how they've embraced it also.
The other thing is, as part of this, you've been working with some young people who've acted as ambassadors for the build from a Liverpool point of view. Is that been exciting? Is that the sort of work that Buckingham like to do?
Yeah, I think it's something the industry itself neglected for a long time, and maybe the softening of the industry with, you know, more females coming into it has highlighted the fact that we need to embrace, you know, CSR as something that we as a company are really, really, you know, championing within all our sectors. And, you know, it's just lovely we see kids coming into a build of a stadium. And, you know, it might seem strange, but, you know, see the kids getting happy, it kind of makes your day as well, you know.
Is that part of, again, working with Liverpool? Because Liverpool have been big on the corporate social responsibility stuff around this. Has it been a good exchange of ideas, the way you want to work on that, the way they want to work on that? Is the stuff that you're going to take away that you hope they're going to take away?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you don't learn every day, then what's the point getting out of bed in the morning, you know? And you know, none of us know everything. But we might portray ourselves as experts. We're really only learning, aren't we? And especially on the CSR side of things, Liverpool would be, they have a lovely team that work with it. And in fairness, so do Buckingham's. So we have a full department that liaises with the Liverpool team, and then they discuss it with me. And as long as it doesn't, you know, affect, you know, the works on that day, then, you know, the site's open to the children and every other young ambassador that wants to come and see it.
Excellent stuff. So in terms of what people are going to see as they come to the grounds, you've got a lovely run now, no game until April the 2nd. Then there's intermittent games until May. Then there's the summer break, and then there's the World Cup. Has all of that been factored into this build?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of those are advantageous to us, like the summer period, the Qatar World Cup also, but then the fixture list is obviously a negative part of it. So we would hope, as I mentioned in the presentation, we would hope that when the fans come back for the first game in August, they're going to see a big, you know, a big difference in the stadium, and they'll see the perspective of, you know, the height of it and the steel of the grandstand, and some seating elements should also be in by that stage.
Excellent stuff indeed. Thank you very much, Colin.
The Anfield Wrap live shows are back. Last week we were in Brighton. Thanks so much to everyone who came down. Obviously the Brighton Cop for helping us organise it. And yeah, everyone who came down, who still laughed at our jokes, who enjoyed themselves. And yeah, it was a fantastic celebration of Liverpool Football Club. And we've got a little taste for it now, and we remember what we're doing. And so we are off to the Emerald Isle next weekend. So international weekend, we are at Belfast on Friday, Dublin on Saturday, and Cork on Sunday. There are still a few tickets left, so do come and see us. It's a bit of a ride. It always is over in Ireland, to be honest with you, but we've been too long without it, so we're going to certainly enjoy ourselves on stage as well. I say stage, it'll be off it, it'll be in amongst it, and it'll all be fun all together. So if you want to get tickets, it's theanfieldwrap.com/TAW live. That's theanfieldwrap.com. facebook.com/TAW Live. We'd love to see you all there. We'd love to sell out all the venues. And yeah, we'd love to have a big party over in Ireland. It's been too long, mates. Up the Reds.
And it's John Gibbons for Tour Live. Glad to be joined over Zoom by Liverpool musician, artist, singer, Chloe Noon. Chloe, thanks so much for coming on the Anfield Wrap.
Thanks for having me.
So Chloe, you're from Anfield. Tell us a little bit more about how you got into music and your journey to where you are now.
Honestly, I wish there was like a more interesting story. Like, you know, like I picked up a guitar at 3 and started learning Bob Dylan songs by 4, but it wasn't like that. I always loved singing. Like, my dad's a singer, so I've been surrounded by it like most of my life. And then I loved doing like school plays and stuff, and then I'd done a bit of musical theatre and that, but I never ever thought I'd be writing my own songs. I think that only started to emerge when I was in college, and you know, I was under the influence that I can actually write my own songs. And then, you know, I started learning a bit of guitar enough to get me writing, and then yeah, it kind of just went from there, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm from there to now releasing your brand new single on Modern Sky, the Liverpool label Modern Sky. They're absolutely flying at the moment. They've got albums at the top of the charts. So you must be really pleased to have their backing at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, it's really exciting, and the really great record label I'm glad to be working with. It's been really exciting.
Have you been inspired by the recent success in the city? Because both the single and album charts have been, you know, full of musicians in Liverpool, you know, making a mark.
Yeah, 100%. Like, there's so much, like, talent in the city, and it's, like, overflowing at the minute. Like, it's brilliant, and I'm really proud to be a part of it. And I'm very new to the whole Liverpool music scene, of course, and it's just really exciting. Like, I didn't ever think I'd be in it this much and be in it, like, this quickly. Like, it was only the past year and a bit that I found out about like local labels, found out about like local artists that are doing really well at the minute, because you know, I had no idea. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. When I was in college, I was like immersed in that, so I could only ever see as far as college. I didn't really like step outside and go into the city and see gigs or nothing like that. So I'm really glad at the minute, and like I've met so many amazing people that have helped me bring my art forward and stuff like that. So yeah, it's brilliant. I really, really love it.
So have you found people supportive then within the city in terms of helping you develop and helping you get to where you are now, and hopefully obviously even further?
Yeah, 100%. I don't think I'd like be where I am now without like the people who I've met in the city and the people who've been helping me and my friends in the city. So yeah.
I've got to ask you about working with Youngblood. I know you're a big fan. That must have been a cool experience. Tell us a little bit more about that.
It was, honestly, still hasn't settled in, to be honest. It was I just got out of college, and I was thinking, right, how am I going to do this on my own? What's the next step? Because there's so many, like, you know, hidden things, and how to, like, you know, make it, and how to, like start your own, your music journey and stuff like that. And, you know, I had, like, tools from college and stuff, but I was just trying to figure out how to put it into my craft and how to, you know, like get the ball rolling. And then like me and my sister were in my room this when I was still in Anfield when I was living with my mum. I live on my own now, but when I was living with my mum, my sister was like, oh, Youngblood posted this TikTok duet thing. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, it's like you can write your own verse to his song Parents. And I was like, oh yeah. She was like, just give it a go. And I was like, oh, I don't know, it's probably not gonna do anything, it's not gonna go anywhere, I don't know. And it was like early hours in the morning, and I just wrote my own verse, and then I woke up and it like blew up, and I was like, oh no way. And then he duetted it, and I thought that was the extent of it all. I was like, no way, he's seen my verse, he seemed to really like it, that's great. So it gave me like that confidence boost to start like posting more singing videos and stuff. And then 4 weeks later he was like, I want to re-release the song. He surprised me and FaceTime called me, and I was absolutely flabbergasted. I couldn't believe it. It was absolutely surreal. Like, nothing like that's ever happened to me before, do you know what I mean? And then went to Power Street, recorded it, and then about a week later the song came out, and the love and support and, you know, all the attention that I got from it was like overwhelming. It was brilliant. Like, I had a feature on the Liverpool Echo and stuff like that, and my family was so proud and stuff, and like it was just amazing. And I'm so grateful for that opportunity, because it's, you know, it's really catapulted me into where I am now and put me in contact with so many talented individuals, so many amazing people to help my, you know, dream come true at the end of the day. So
yeah, it's an incredible story, and it feels like, you know, one that wouldn't necessarily have been possible even just a few years ago, because it's modern technology, and it's obviously fair play to him for reaching out to, you know, his audience and trying to find kind of, you know, exciting and new artists and talents as well. But it just shows that, you know, you talked about, you know, learning in college about the tools, and it's, I guess it's for any emerging singer or anything really, it's about seeing those opportunities and thinking, I'll throw myself forward and see what happens.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was like the way it all happened because of social media, it all happened because of like a TikTok duet. It's just insane. It just shows the power it has over the industry at the minute. It's madness. But yeah, it was so much fun. I feel like people were a bit confused when I released my debut single, Come On When You're Sober, because obviously Youngblood, like a pop punk artist, like a rock artist. And although my verse on his track was more spoken word than like, you know, pop punk. I feel like when I started releasing like the music that I make, which is more like pop singer songwriter, people were probably a bit like, I'm gone. But like, you know, so many of his fandom have like stuck with me and supported me, and I'm really, really grateful for that. So yeah.
It's an incredible story. So in terms of goals for this year, then, I mean, you know, I guess your career is in fast moving, but things go out of nowhere, so expect the unexpected. But generally speaking, like, have you set yourself any goals for things you'd like to do this year?
Honestly, just releasing more songs, writing more songs, collaborating with more people. Obviously, I've just released my second single, No Wings, which is doing really well at the minute. It's received a lot of love. And then I have my debut show in the Casimir Stockroom on the 17th of April, which I'm really looking forward to. I'm terrified, but I'm really looking forward to it. So yeah, honestly, this year is just about, you know, progressing and moving forward and trying to do more things. Because I feel like the past two singles, like, took a lot of, like, you know, time, and like, it's been really nerve-wracking. I feel like now that I'm kind of getting in the groove of things, hopefully it'll be able to run a lot more smoothly, because I never released anything before the Youngblood track. So like, I'd released things on Spotify in college and stuff for like band projects and that, but I'd never really done anything to that extent on my own. So it was a bit daunting at first, and it was a bit scary, but now I feel like I kind of, you know, I've got my game face on, and I kind of know what I'm doing and where I'm going now. So yeah, I'm really excited for the year to come. I think it's going to be great.
Oh, no, it's really exciting. In terms of developing as a live act as well, have you thoughts about that? Because obviously it's a bit different now in terms of, you know, traditionally, you know, you play live and do gigs, and then maybe, you know, kind of get signed, and then you'd be nervous about going to a recording studio, where there's lots of modern artists now, or younger artists will develop as a recording artist and then sort of the other way around. So for you, have you thoughts about how are you going to transform what you do as live, and have you got your tricks under your sleeve?
Oh, honest, I wish I was that exciting, but I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a really nervous performer, like, and I'm really nervous for my debut show, but I'm also excited because I've never, like, when I've performed in college and stuff, it's always been songs that have been given to the band and myself, like songs that we've had to, you know, emulate and, like, perform in within them walls that the song's been given to us. But now that I'm going to be doing my own songs, I feel like there's a lot more flexibility, and, you know, I'm just hoping that I won't be as nervous, because, you know, the what I've wrote, so I can go about it how I like. And yeah, it's really nerve-wracking. You know, it's got to be like showing what you've been working on to, like, strangers. But, you know, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm really, really excited. Yeah, it's crazy. I really never thought I'd be in this position. I never thought I'd be on a podcast. I thought I'd be doing any of this. So it's mad. Like, so stop me if I'm waffling. But
your enthusiasm's coming out of you, and your love for what you do. And yeah, just keep enjoying it, keep growing, and keep grabbing those opportunities when they come. Chloe, thanks so much for coming on. I think, again, 17 people in the Casimir Stockroom. If you can't get there, down, tickets are on sale now. If people can't be listening around the world, Chloe, where can they find your music online?
Anywhere on any streaming platform, you can find links to this all in my social media bios, and then I also have a YouTube channel as well. So yeah,
great, no excuses, Chloe. Thanks so much, lovely to speak to you.
Thank you so much.
Forest then, Emma. It's a bit of an old school tie. I'm an old school man now. I'm 40. How would you be approaching it from a Liverpool point of view? It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because he's rotated a lot in the cups, and listen, he's done well from it. We've got a shiny one already this season, but there is that international break as well, which means he can maybe play a couple of the players who aren't necessarily going to be sort of travelling a lot. I'm thinking about someone like a Joel Matip who doesn't go away with Cameroon. Also, Mo and Bobby didn't get many minutes, you know, in the week. So there's options to start them. But there's obviously his dream team of Taki and Origi that's done him pretty well. And how would you be approaching it, and how strong do you think he'll go?
Yeah, well, firstly, like, there's a bit of personal interest in this for me because my family is sort of living Nottingham Way, so brother-in-law's a season ticket holder at Forest, so a bit of a local kind of derby there. I think some of the names you've mentioned, the likes of Taki and Origi, they'll probably be expected to come on, if not start. I think Taki might start. I think he'll start with Bobby, and it wouldn't surprise me if Mo maybe gets an hour. I think it'll be a strong team. I think he has to approach it strongly because Forest are in a fantastic moment. Their form has been brilliant in the championship.
Yeah, won again last night, didn't they?
Yeah, so they're absolutely flying at the moment, and Cooper's done a brilliant job since he's come in. So they've already beaten two Premier League teams already in the Cup, Arsenal and Leicester City, I think it was. So, a really, really tough game for Liverpool. And obviously, you know, the history around both clubs in this competition is you know, it's pretty self-explanatory. So I think he has to go strong. And I think he should because, you know, we've been talking about the squad depth and how everyone's in form, everyone's fit. So why not go for all the competitions? Absolutely, 100%. Play not necessarily your strongest 11, but play a team that's strong enough and capable enough of beating them. And if not, have players on the bench that can come on and turn it into the strongest 11.
Yeah, they've got a proud history, Gareth, a European Cup, and there's plenty of clubs around Nottingham here who can't say that, yeah. But they have got one, and they're going to be bang up for this. You know, I mean, Liverpool is a step up of who they've played this season, both in the league and in the Cup, but as Emma says, they couldn't be going into this in better form, you know, in a better feeling sort of internally, really. But I just think whoever Liverpool pick, you know, we could talk about 5 changes, we could talk about 8 changes, we could talk about 10, but the players you're still bringing in are still real top quality.
Yeah, I mean, Forest are a good side, unbeaten since the end of January, going for the playoff spots. QPR, who you mentioned, they beat on Wednesday night, above them in the league. I think they were 6th, and Forest are currently 8th. And they actually 1-0 down, and then they get
three. It's an equaliser.
It's an absolute storm. And it's that lad.
He must have done it again because they're all shout and shoot.
Yeah, it's the right back, isn't it, who's on loan from Middlesbrough, who's looked really impressive in the FA Cup games that I've watched when they've been on the telly. And look, it's going to be rocking there as well. I mean, you mentioned the European Cups that they won, and there is this history between the sides, and, you know, they knocked us out the European Cup when we held it. They beat us in a League Cup final. They beat us in another League Cup semi. And, you know, there's old beef there, isn't yeah. there? And also as well, I mean, you know, I've known some Forest lads from at uni and stuff, and they've got that thing where, you know, because of the European Cups and because of what Brian Clough did there, they think they belong in the Premier League, and they don't expect to be knocking around below that, and they've been waiting for their time, and it's been 23 years since they last played Liverpool, which is absolutely wild. I mean, I can remember them being in the Premier League. Yeah. But yeah, 23 years, the last game was 1999. And of course, Emma touched on it there as well. The last time we played them in the FA Cup was Hillsborough. So there's that as well. I believe there is stuff, ideas of fans meeting up and survivors meeting up and things like that, which is a good thing, and you would expect that. And it's worth saying that, you know, for... Every club's got some blurts, but every club has got good people, and Forest has got some good people, and some of their fans have made the effort over the years to talk about Hillsborough, talk about their experience of it. There'll be a tinge of sadness there as well. But it's a big, big game, and the reason it's on the telly 6 o'clock on a Sunday on ITV is that TV executive somewhere has gone, oh, hello, little bit of a banana skin there. You know, you never know. And, I'm sure the Forest lads will get themselves fueled. The ground will be rocking. And it's back to what Klopp was saying for me about, you know, starting quickly, because you want to start quickly in this game. Show them who's boss. Show them who's the Premier League team. Show them who the team is who's going for the title. And quieten the crowd, because if Forest get up in any way, then, you know, we could have problems. I think because of that as well on the team, like, he went... you know, it changed everything almost, didn't he, for Norwich in the FA Cup, and you had two different centre halves and things like that. I'd maybe keep Virgil in me just because, you know, he's that absolute rock. I think if you're coming up against him, you're like, shit, Virgil's there. I think he changes everything around them when he's on the pitch as well. And he doesn't seem to mind just playing loads of minutes because he's just there, isn't he? He's not. It's not like he's sprinting up and down the pitch. He's just at the back of him. Go on then. So I think having him there as the rock, Naby as well, is someone who didn't play any minutes at all at Arsenal, but has looked decent recently, I think. So I think he's another one who doesn't feel too second string, who can come in and be doing a job for us in midfield as well. So I think maybe the lineup's a bit more of a mix rather than like 10 changes this time around.
How you feeling about it, Cam? Are you going? Are you dipping into the overdraft? It must be a new ground for a young man like you.
Yeah, new ground. I'm made up, to be honest. It's one of them, like, every round of the cup, I'm always like, oh, like, Forest or, you know, someone like that, like a proper old-school ground. I can't wait for it. But like they're saying there, I think we've got to go with a bit of experience, because if you put out all the kids there, I mean, obviously, I know the professionals and that, but that ground's going to be rocking, isn't it? You just need to go in and just quiet them down as quick as possible. But yeah, I think what he'll probably do is he's probably going to get them into care with Sainge, like, look, who can give me minutes on Sunday, because we're getting over the line to the international break, aren't we? And then we've got a nice break. But it's just all this, the game's just coming in thick and fast, aren't they? It's just, what a week. Like, you know, Brighton and Arsenal now, like, a new ground on Sunday. We could be going back to Wembley. It's just boss.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a few comments I'll bring in. Anna Roberts says, definitely want to see a bit of Divock and Tacky Sunday, a bit of Harvey Elliott. I haven't even thought about Harvey. It just shows. I was thinking about Keiter and Curtis, who obviously Jones came on last night. Keiter's not involved, but has played really well. But yeah, Harvey Elliott, yeah, another sort of fantastic option. Joe Gomez mentioned there, lots of lads who are more than capable of getting the job done, well rested and time to prep. Yeah, it'll be interesting if he goes sort of in a similar way. So what else there? I'm saying we'll play a strong side because it's the quarters, which, you know, is also a thing to think about. It's one game from Wembley again, Emma. Do you know what I mean? We've only just been down there. I think I left a couple of things. I could maybe pick them up. Do you know what I mean? It's back to Anfield South days, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And Klopp's spoken about this. He said, you know, there's not that many games until you can get to Wembley again. So it is important. It's a cup final. It's a massive cup final. Quarter final. Yeah. It's a massive game. It's against, you know, a team banging form. So I think he has to go strong. Yeah, for me, like I say, I'd probably make 3 or 4 changes, but I 100% agree with Gareth. I'd keep probably Virgil in, maybe Robbo. I'd have one of the front three in. So I'd have like either Jota, Diaz, Firmino, and then I think Salah will start anyway. And then probably, yeah, Divock and Tacky maybe. And then, yeah, midfielders. I mean, they're all first teamers these days, aren't they? So, any of them really.
I'd be tempted to pick one of Fabinho and Henderson, I think, Emma, just for that sort of solidity in front of the box, because, you know, mention some of those, you know, players like Curtis Jones, Keita, Elliott. You'd back any two of those three to play well and shine if they had a Fab or a Hendo behind them.
I agree with that. And I think Forrest, just to, you know, kill that maybe that first 45 minutes where Forrest will be wanting to come out. And as Gareth says, the crowd's going to be right on their side. So just having someone like Fabinho maybe probably would be my choice, just to put in some big tackles early on and sort of quiet them down and mop things up. And then once you've got a bit of a base, then you can maybe switch things around in the second half.
Yeah, I think what we're all talking about here is showing the gulf in class early. So we know, Gareth, that we're a better team than them, and they know that as well. But there's knowing it, but thinking, well, you know, it's 11v11, but if we can go on the pitch straight away and show what we're about and the quality that we've got, you know, suddenly the players are thinking, oh, I'll just, you know, let's keep this to 2-3 and we'll all fight over who's getting Mo Salah's shirt.
Yeah. I mean, what I've liked about watching Forest so far in the Cup, I've not watched them in the league, but I've watched the Cup games, is the heart, the spirit, some of the stuff that we talked about Liverpool, really. So I would expect them to have a go. I don't think they're going to sit back and just try and take the sting out the game and all that kind of thing. They're going to try and embrace the fact that the ground will be rocking, the fact that they do think they're a big club and deserve to be in games like this. All of that coming together, a 6 o'clock kickoff as well, under the lights-ish. So I think they'll try and have a go early doors. And, you know, that Jed Spence, who we were talking about before, who scored a fantastic goal in the week, you know, he was brilliant against Arsenal. So we've got to watch him. You know, he's their version of Trent, if you like, Aldi Trent. But, you know, he's looked decent. He could cause us problems. And it'd be really interesting to see what side it is. I think some of it will come down to what Emma's talking about the sort of the sports science of it almost, in that, you know, they'll be having a good look at them in Kirby and saying, well, who can go again? Who needs a bit of a rest? I mean, you'd be surprised to see like Robbo, wouldn't you? Because like he put absolutely everything into Arsenal and looked goosed in that interview afterwards. So, you know, I'm not sure where Tsimikas is at, because he was out recently, wasn't he? But see where that's at. We've not had the press conferences yet, so we've not had the updates.
Right, that was interesting. We had a few technical issues there. That's the thing with live streaming. It sounds like a fantastic idea, but when the internet literally disappears, you have a few problems. So apologies for that, but there's more to come. It's absolutely brilliant. We've enjoyed ourselves today. We're enjoying the Reds. We enjoyed last night. We're going to enjoy Sunday. Here's back to the show.
I think someone's I think the cleaners unplugged his studio Mac in Man Island. So it's just one of them, innit? But now me and Cam are talking before the show. Tell by my voice, I've had a couple last night. I got in about 4 o'clock. What time did you get in?
Half four. The bus dragged into my train, Matthews.
Everyone. How did you find the concourse at half time? It was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Not like dead nervous, but just like a little bit like, no, what's gonna happen now?
Yeah, I thought it was a bit, everyone's getting nervous, but like I said at the start, it's that stage of the season, isn't it? Where everyone's just a bit like, you know, it wasn't really like bouncing and everyone was just a bit like, oh, let's just like try and get a goal. And then compared to at the end, it was just bossed out. But but as you said, that's this stage of the season, it's gonna happen, isn't it? Everyone's gonna be nervous. But like as Virgil said the other day, we've all just gotta embrace it now.
I don't know what it was, because I was behind the goal, you were around the side, I think. We were a little bit more. It was one of them games. If it was at home watching it on the telly, I would have been having kittens. But it weren't that bad in the ground. But even then, I think on the pitch, they weren't much calmer than what we were, and they weren't anyway.
Yeah.
They never looked fraught. And I love the reaction to Alisson's save, because it was just kind of like there was no recriminations. It was just like, right, it's done. Just get on with it. Do you know what I mean? Just carry on. And then the maturity that shows, I think we scored about 2 minutes later, don't we? Like 2 or 3 minutes later, the goal comes.
Yeah.
And what do you reckon? I've only seen it back this morning. You know what? I reckon Ramsdale could have done better with both of them, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But like that, as you said, like we were saying just before the show, like that Firmino goal, like the skill, he's probably not expecting him to do that. As you said, like you were saying before, it's basically like a back heel, weren't it? But yeah, I mean, he's a weird one, that Ramsdale. When he first got him, I was a bit like, I just weren't into him at all. I thought he was up, but he grew on me a bit. I think he's a good keeper.
You know, he loves a camera save, don't Cam? He loves it. Loves a camera save. Yeah. Loves flapping the arms around a little bit, for me anyway. But, you know, I think, I don't know. I mean, look, I think he's good. He's athletic. He's agile and all that. But I wouldn't say them like in a million years for what we've got. I mean, I probably wouldn't even trade them for Gallagher. Maybe that is me being a little bit biased, but it shows that, you know, the strength and depth that we've got all over the pitch now.
Yeah, I know. It's a weird one with Keller, isn't it? Because obviously Alisson is, you know, he's the best keeper in the world for me. I always think, like, if Keller was to go, like, who do you think he'd, like, go to in the Premier League? Like, you'd say he's top six?
You know what? I think it's a weird one. I think with the keepers and that, it's like, unless you're exceptional, they're just much of a muchness. Do you know what I mean? So he's definitely Premier League level. So if he was starting week in, week out for, I don't know, even West Ham.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you could argue with that. I think Fabianski's all right. Again, apologies for anyone just tuning in. We are trying to get people back online. It's just that we're having a few technical gremlins, so to speak. So I'm going to put my proper microphone in. It was wet yesterday, wasn't it? Fucking hell.
Yeah, I know, it was horrible. I was soaked right through, but it didn't help that we got there 2 hours before kickoff as well. We're normally there just like right on kickoff, but we were there right early, so we were like looking for cover in that. I didn't really dress appropriately, to be honest. So
and the wind, boring match, but the wind was blowing the rain under the sand as well, which didn't help where we were. Like, it was like you think you're all right, and then just starts blowing a little bit, and you get soaked. One of them. I had to had a little laugh the other day with Bernardo Silva's interview after they drew the other day. Liverpool weren't even mentioned. I don't know if this has been picked up in the discourse and that, but it took him about 10 seconds to mention Liverpool.
Yeah.
And you get the sense that, you know, all right, we appreciate how good City are, but it appears that, you know, they're pretty nervous about us. And it, yeah. I'm just curious as to whether that's going to change now, because the pressure's kind of been off us because we've been playing catch up and whatever. And now it's pretty much neck and neck. I just, if I could wish for anything in all this, it'd just be to not get nervous. The crowd more than anything. Because I think that doesn't have to transmit down. I think it transmits more down than you know.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's quite lucky that some of the home games got left. It's the Derby and United, so I don't think there's going to be a nervous. It's going to be off. It's going to be rocking, isn't it? But it's your Watford that are half 12. Do you know what I mean? It's good. Like,
okay, here we go. Houston, can you hear me?
Houston, the internet broke.
I've been having my one-man show here, getting asked what crisps are like and everything. So
fucking brilliant, Cam. We'll leave all that in. Listen, we need to get out because Neil needs to get in and do some calls. But just to finish, basically, Gareth, it's a big game. It's a big end to the season. Someone made a comment before saying it feels like it's going to be special. It's all there for them, isn't it? And another piece of that is on Sunday. So let's win. Let's get another Wembley semi-final. Let's get another step to all these cups.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, Klopp said that momentum is a flower easily trampled, and we don't want it trampled on Sunday. So whatever you think of the FA Cup, the importance of it and all that, now is not the time. We're in the quarters. This is the furthest we've gone under Klopp. Now we want to go all the way, put it in the cabinet. And have a boss trophy parade at the end of the season with the Premier League, the European Cup, the FA Cup, the League Cup, the other Premier League that we never got to have a parade for. Imagine it. Imagine a party in the city. Imagine how it go off that we finally properly get to celebrate big, big cups. And this is another step of that journey. So let's beat them. Let's beat Forest. Let's say ta-ra, duck, to everyone in Nottingham. Hope that adds.
See, that was worth waiting for, wasn't it? Wasn't that good? We're going to trample all over their flowers. We're coming to Nottingham. We're going to jump all over the forest, trample on everything, up their heads. Nice one to Cam for doing 10 minutes on his own.
Nice one. See you in a bit.
Sports Social Podcast Network.